Hello, everybody, and welcome to Giants Goal Line, our Giants podcast here at SNY.tv. I'm Ralph Macchiano, the NFL insider for SNY. This is a new podcast, and we really thank you for listening to us today. It's something we're going to be doing weekly here throughout the NFL season. It's going to be just an absolute must-listen for you. We're going to have a rotating panel of guests, all sorts of interviews from my time out at Giants camp, and who knows what other surprises we'll get. We'll have plenty of information on your favorite team as well. As most of you probably know, or hopefully know, I've spent about 15 years covering the Giants. I used to do that at the New York Daily News. But now I am here at SNY.tv doing their new job as the NFL insider. I'll be covering both the Giants and the Jets. For your purposes, though, make sure you're locked in not only to this podcast, but also to SNY.tv/Giants, where you're just going to get all the best information all year long. This podcast is going to be a terrific one. We're going to have John Fennelly, our SNY Giants writer, who you can find, by the way, at Twitter, at SNY Giants. He's going to be joining us to talk about all the news as we approach the third preseason game for the Giants. It's their biggest one, of course, against the Jets. We'll recap the disaster against the Buffalo Bills, the Giants losing the second game 21-0. I know that's set off quite a bit of panic in Giants fan land, and some of it may be a little bit justified. We'll definitely get into that. We'll talk about some of the other situations that have come up. For example, Victor Cruz, his attempt to really revive his career. It's been a little bit stalled with injuries, and we'll fill you in on what's going on with him. Of course, the Josh Brown situation, which is now looming over the Giants organization, his arrest on domestic violence charges, his one-game suspension. We'll get into all that and some of the other big problem areas. For example, the Giants offensive line, certainly a big one to watch. We'll also later on in the show have an interview I did last week with Giants receiver Sterling Shepard, a rookie who is not going to make you forget about Victor Cruz and certainly not Odell Beckham, but it's going to be a nice compliment. He's had a terrific, terrific summer, hasn't flashed a ton in preseason games, but from all indications, I think you're going to be really surprised with him when you see him in action in the regular season. One quick programming note before we begin. If you are a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.tv audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. That's the SNY.tv audio network. And please make sure to rate and review our channel. And I promise you, you're going to get some great stuff out of the Giants. The rest of those podcasts are terrific. Listen to those as well. I'm not going to recommend the Rangers one because I'm an Islander fan, but that's okay. The rest of them are good. Now, the Rangers one is good, too. Islanders are just a little bit better. Anyway, let's start with what's going on at Giants camp. And while I know most of you want to get straight to the football stuff, we cannot begin anywhere else other than the Josh Brown mess. This has been a really tough thing for the Giants organization. They've known about it for a while. Josh Brown obviously was arrested, as many of you know, for a domestic violence incident back in May of 2015. Last week, we learned that he's been suspended for the season opener against the Dallas Cowboys for one game for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. The Giants haven't really said much about this, and this is really what I want to talk about, their continued silence. It is a really terrible, terrible look for them. This is a league where domestic violence has been an increasing problem, and how they've responded to domestic violence from their disastrous way, the league I'm talking about, their disastrous way of handling the Ray Rice situation a couple of years ago, to their inconsistent punishments. Now here comes the Josh Brown situation, and they've got a new domestic violence policy, and they have this 6-game baseline suspension. And for some reason, they have made Josh Brown's suspension only one game. Turns out that, you know, obviously they must have thought the one incident was relatively minor, but it turns out when we see the police report, he's got a long history of being accused by his wife of domestic violence. And I'll stress that they are only accusations, but I will say in the police report, the police deemed his wife to be very, very credible. The Giants absolutely owe their fans and everybody just an explanation of why they are tolerant of this, why they stick by Josh Brown. They may have good reasons for all we know. Again, these are only accusations. They may have decided that they find Josh Brown believable. Maybe they think this is no big deal. I don't know. But in an era where domestic violence is such a major issue and the league has been so terrible with handling it, it's really just a bad look that the Giants don't come out and say, this is why we think Josh Brown belongs on our team. And so far, John Mara, Jerry Reese, Steve Tisch, all will not comment on it. Ben McAdoo actually made the strongest statement about it. He had been quoted earlier. He said that he didn't know about this till he became the head coach of the Giants, and he came out and said that he stands by Josh Brown as a player, as a man, as a father. And that was before the rest of the accusations come out. Ever since then, Ben McAdoo's been asked several times and just will not, he won't back down from that. He won't say anything different. It really makes you wonder whether he knew the full depth of the accusations against Josh Brown before he made those statements. And I really think that at some point, and John Mara hinted that maybe he'll change his mind and talk about it, they just need to say something. They need to be upfront about this. So any fans who are disgusted by what Josh Brown has been accused of doing, at least they get to know what the Giants' reason is behind it. If they want to keep him, that's their business. If they want to cut him, that's their business. But they have to explain it to the fans. That's my first big storyline out of Giants camp. The second one, of course, as we transition back onto the field, is Victor Cruz. And it's been a long 2 years for Victor Cruz. It really has. We've been trying to watch him come back from a knee injury 2 years ago, which turned into a calf injury last year. And now it's a sore groin that's kept him out almost 2 weeks. As we tape this podcast on Tuesday of this week, Victor Cruz is scheduled to practice. The Giants say he's scheduled to practice each day that he's out there. They are hopeful. They have a goal of getting him into the preseason game against the Jets on Saturday. Whether that's realistic or not, we'll find out soon. But with Victor Cruz, Jerry Reese said this last year. He hasn't said it this year. But last year he said, anything we get out of Victor Cruz has to be considered a bonus. We can't count on him. And that's nothing against Victor Cruz. But after all these injuries and at 29 years old, there's a fair question as to whether his body is just breaking down, whether every time he attempts to get back to full speed, it becomes something else. This time it's a sore groin. Next time, maybe it's a hamstring or a calf again. Who knows? So you certainly hope that Victor Cruz can get back, but the Giants can't plan around him. They need to work in Sterling Shepard, as we talk about, planning him as the second receiver, develop that third receiver until they know for sure that Victor Cruz can get it back out there. And because of that, you know, this is about as big a week as there's been for Victor Cruz. If he can't get back on the field for Saturday night, you have to wonder if they're not going to put him on injured reserve to start the season. We'll, of course, have that resolved by the time we do our next podcast next week. The Giants can only hope that our third big storyline of camp will be resolved by then, and that is the offensive line, which has just been really a mess. It was not good in the first preseason game. It was pretty terrible in the second preseason game as well. Not a lot of encouraging signs, and it's not just the right side of the line. We know that they have tried to upgrade all offseason long, right tackle spot where Marshall Newhouse has a tenuous hold on the job, and they are a little happier than most fans are with John Jerry at right guard, but they were not the only problems in the second preseason game against the Bills. The left side was not good. Part of that was because Justin Pugh, the left guard, was out. But Eric Flowers, who you would have thought in his second year would have shown a little more development, still looks like a rookie out there. Weston Richburg, the center, who last year was playing at a near Pro Bowl pace, he was not distinguishing himself out there either. So they've got a lot of work to do, and that is a huge thing because the Giants' whole entire game plan this season, they believe they've built up their defense enough, but the reason they think they can compete and be back in the playoffs is because they have an offense that they think can be maybe even top five. They have obviously a quarterback they think is elite, weapons in Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and maybe Victor Cruz. They think they have an underrated run game and a diverse run game as well, and they think they have good enough tight ends. They were, in the last 2 years, ranked 10th and 8th in offense, so they know they have a track record running Ben McAdoo's offense, but none of it matters if they can't keep their 35-year-old quarterback healthy, if they can't keep him upright, if they can't give him time to operate that offense. That will be, you'll see the numbers just start to dip very, very quickly, and their plans will all be a mess. If they can give him just a little bit of time and let Eli Manning do what he does best, this could be a very good team, a high-scoring team, but they have a lot of work to do in fixing that offensive line, and really only one one major preseason game left to do it. So those are the three big storylines that we've had as we come out of training camp. But it's getting close to the end of it. September 11th, the regular season opener against the Dallas Cowboys will come up very, very soon. The starters in this third preseason game will go probably into the third quarter, and they're not going to play much in the fourth game. So this is really the time to find out about all of the Giants' issues. And we'll certainly be covering that pretty in-depth here at SNY and SNY.TV. We move on to our second segment now, and as promised, we're going to bring in our SNY Giants writer, John Fennelly. How you doing, John?
Very well. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate it. A little while ago, I gave everybody kind of a highlight of my biggest storylines to come out of the Giants at training camp so far this summer. So before we get into our interview, just give me a little sense of what your biggest storylines are coming out of camp.
Well, you know, Ralph, the thing is that, you know, you see discipline under Tom Coughlin. We saw a lot of discipline, not too many penalties, you know, holding on to the football, you know, more a crisper flow of play. And so far under Ben McAdoo, I haven't seen that. I see guys missing blocks. I see guys dropping footballs. You know, ball security is still an issue. The offensive line is still an issue, it looks like. It looks like they're very slow off the snap. And without that, you know, the whole operation isn't going to go too well. On defense, everything looks to be, you know, much better. They're quicker to the football, playing better in the box, you know, getting to the point of attack. Not so much getting to the quarterback like we'd like to see, but, you know, they're looking much better. You know, is it possible that the defense carries this team instead of the offense this year?
That would be something. Boy, that would be it would be quite the reversal for this era of Giants football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now I see the starting defense, if they can stay on the field, you know, if they can actually get on the field and stay on the field for all 11 guys, that would be great. You know, last year they were missing like six or seven starters, and then some of their backups started to get hurt. So you saw like, you know, they were able to play, I would say, a good 55 minutes of football, and then the last five, as we know, they just didn't have the manpower.
Yeah.
This year, hopefully, that's not the case. And right now, we're seeing in the secondary, we see a couple of injuries already, but you know, when they fully stocked, I'd like to see how that works out for them back there, if they're really going to be able to wag the dog, you know, with that secondary.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I don't think we've seen a Giants team that was defense first probably since 2007, when the offense was just starting to come into its own a little bit. By the time it got to 2008, you know, the offense could really move the ball. But that 2007 Super Bowl team would have been the last one where I would say, yeah, that defense is really – that was really their strong point.
Yeah, what they need to do is balance out the time of possession too. You know, they're not able to run the football, so they're three and outing every time now almost. And, you know, if you have drop passes on top of that, and, you know, I know that Sterling Shepard and some of the other guys haven't gotten on the field that much, but at tight end, you know, I see Larry Donnell, he's having a tough time acclimating to different formations for the defense. He's missing blocks. He's getting out in his pad and slowly. They might have to take a good long look at some of these other tight ends. I know Shane Vereen, you know, he's really their go-to guy in the short yardage game, but you know, the tight ends are really going to have to step it up. And I just don't mean Will Ty. I mean, he does a good job. But some of these other guys, somebody has to emerge from that group.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think we have to worry about the main guys necessarily on the offense. You know, like you said, they're not working in Sterling Shepard yet or Odell Beckham. They're not game planning. So they haven't really pulled out all their tricks and trades. But when you see the things we were talking about, the offensive line breakdowns, Larry Donnell having trouble blocking, are you worried about this offense overall, or do you just kind of assume that eventually when they really get down to game planning that they'll pick it up the way we're used to seeing?
Well, yeah, I think that they'll come around, but how well will they progress from last year? I mean, last year I think they were ranked 20th in the league in offensive line, you know, overall play. You know, you really got to get down into the low teens and into the top 10 if you want to, you know, become a formidable offense. I mean, last year, it was the big play that kept them afloat. They came out, they scored quickly, but when it comes to holding that lead and sitting on top of a lead, their offense kind of breaks down because they can't run that football. You know, Rashad Jennings is hurt maybe every other week. He's got something going on with him. They need to find a second guy. I know Williams, Andre Williams, did did a good job, keeping himself in shape, losing 10 pounds or 15 pounds with every loss, but he's still not hitting the holes. I mean, he's not the breakaway guy they need. So if you look at down the depth chart, you'll see the rookie Perkins. Maybe he's the guy. I mean, he's got a little bit of size. He's got some speed. He's got some versatility. I think they're going to end up giving him a lot of reps earlier in the season because the offensive line, I mean, I'm sorry, the running game is really not going to carry the team. So he may be the answer. I don't know what you've seen, but I think he might be the guy.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to get to him until later. My issue with them is mostly if you're not creating the holes, putting a rookie in there might not necessarily help. But I'll say this, the coaches at least have said right off the bat, Rashad Jennings is going to be our number one guy, and they're going to get away from what I thought was that ridiculous four running back rotation they had last
Right.
year. Just nobody, I mean, not that any of them performed well, but Rashad Jennings would get in there for a series. He wouldn't do well. You wouldn't see him again until the end of the second quarter. There was no way for anybody to get hot. Assuming they give a running back a chance, and let's assume that they're telling the truth, that they're going to start with Jennings. You sound like you don't have a lot of faith in Rashad Jennings. Am I reading that wrong?
Well, the problem with him is health, Ralph. I mean, if he can stay on and get some traction, and if the play calling can call more running plays, they need to run the football more. I think it was 61% pass and 39% run. They got away from the run even when Jennings did get hot. So, and then they started switching players around. Okay, it's his turn. I think it's almost like they said before the game, we're going to give you X amount, you X amount, and you X amount. And, that's not the way to do it. I mean, you have to keep the main guy, the bell cow back running, get him hot, get him lathered up. And they don't get a chance because, I think they fall in love with the Eli to Odell hookup. And, Odell gets a lot of targets every game, and he should, but still, the Giants need to run the football more. They got to figure that out.
Yeah, it's one of the great storylines from last year, how close they were to winning. I think they blew five, actually it was an NFL record of five games they led in the fourth quarter that they ended up losing. And if you look closely at those five games, it came down to two very specific things. One is the defense could not get the key stop and get a team off the field on third down. And on the other side, when they were third and short and they just needed to pick up a couple of yards, they could never get it to extend that drive. And that was absolutely huge. And maybe that's a place where Andre Williams comes in. And I know everybody, rightfully so, is down on Andre Williams after just a disastrous year last year. But Ben McAdoo, for whatever it's worth, has expressed faith in this kid. And he has looked, at least to me, like he might be a little bit of a different runner this year than he was at the end of last year.
Yeah, he has. He's lighter. He's obviously faster, but his style. He's still running like he's a plow driver. He's got to try to make some people miss. He got caught behind the line of scrimmage a couple of times against Buffalo. He had a nice run. I think it was on a third and long, but he had a couple. He looked like he just ran into the line. He needs to be able to find a hole, bounce around, and try to find his own yards. And I don't think he can do that.
Yeah.
At this weight, last year he could do that a little bit, and especially as a rookie. And he was a rookie, he was running over people.
Yeah.
Last year he couldn't do that. I think he was just too slow. And this year he might be too light to do that. So he's got to kind of adjust his style a little bit, maybe be a little bit more patient. But like you said, there's not a lot of holes to run through, so he's going to get caught right away. And I think what they really need to do is get him maybe a little further back in the backfield. And just not hand it off to him with just 3 yards to work with, get a little bit of a head of steam. They should do that more. I think their running game they haven't had that in a while. Sort of pitch it back to a guy and let him find his way. Instead, they hand it off and they're plowing it to other bodies in front of them.
Yeah.
And, it's just not working out.
It'd be easier to do if they had a few more holes for him to run through, that's for sure. Sometimes those things close up quickly. Let's flip to the other side of the ball. One of the guys that has jumped off the film to me in the preseason has been Olivier Vernon, who, I got to admit, I was never overly impressed with him with the Dolphins. I understood, in free agency, he was the guy out there. He was probably the best pass rusher on the market. They had to overpay for him. I get all that. But it wasn't a guy that I thought was going to come in and have a huge impact. Haven't been a lot of sacks in the preseason, but from watching the games, he's getting some pressure. He's also taken away some of the double teams and things from Jason Pierre-Paul and other guys like Owusu-Aigbuah. I'm starting to think that he might be able to have a pretty big impact on that pass rush. What have you seen so far?
Yeah, I think that he does a lot of things for the defense. You know, he closes the pocket. If he doesn't get to the quarterback, he certainly closes the pocket and gives other guys an opportunity. I think he can string out the run pretty well. He's a lot stronger than I thought he was. I mean, you know, in person he's pretty imposing. On the field he didn't look that big, but you know, in person he's pretty good. He's pretty big. He's strong. He's fast. He's only 25. I think his role is basically to eat up as much of the offense as he can. And you know, try to close that pocket, if not get to the quarterback. I know he had a sack the other day. I think it was on Manuel. I think it was a backup tackle he beat, but still, he was right through him. So if he can do more of that, of course, the Giants' defense will be a lot better off.
Yeah. All right, John, one more question before we let you go. Obviously, they head into this third preseason game against the Jets. The starters are going to go into the third quarter. You know, I could certainly say that, you know, we need to see something out of the Giants and have a reason for optimism. But the truth is, if you look back through history, there's no correlation between preseason results and performance and what happens in the regular season. The Giants have had terrible offensive showings in the past and come out and lit it up on opening day. So look a little bit past the third preseason game. And right now, when you look at the whole body of work, what you've seen from the Giants on the field, what they've did in the offseason, what you've seen out of the new coach so far, do you have a general sense of optimism about the idea that this team could get back into the playoff hunt, or have you not seen enough yet?
I can't. In the beginning, I thought that, you know, they were set and ready to go. But after watching them operate the last couple of weeks, they need some work to do, obviously. The offensive line has to gel a little bit, as we said. I think once you get Shepard and Beckham on the field together and Shane Vereen, the box will open up and they'll be able to run the ball. I think Vereen is like, he's like the jackknife to this offense. You know, he'll catch the ball, he'll run it. The thing is, they've got to get him opportunities. He'll make his own opportunities at times. But it all depends, really, I think, on how well Shepard can take the pressure off the rest of the offense. If he can beat single coverage, they'll have to start to keep three eyes on him, the defense, and that'll take a safety away and you know, open a place for Beckham and whoever's going to be in the slot, whether it be Victor Cruz or Jeremy Davis or whoever. And, of course, the tight ends, they've really got to get a 75-catch tight end on their roster. I don't know if they have one. Larry Donnell was pretty close, but after that neck injury, he looks a little tentative. I don't know. I think that, you know, somebody's got to come forward. Another fourth pair of hands there.
And of course, they're running out of time to do that. We will see
Right.
soon enough how it all works out. John, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ralph.
Well, you heard John talk a little bit about Giants rookie receiver Sterling Shepard. I mentioned him earlier as well. Coming off just a terrific summer so far, really has brought a lot of optimism to the Giants as to a guy that could be the second option in the offense, especially with Victor Cruz's situation still uncertain. They obviously need somebody to take the pressure off of Odell Beckham. I caught up with Shepard last week to talk a little bit about his experience in Giants camp and how much better he thinks he is from just 2 weeks ago and just really a couple of months ago when he first arrived here out of Oklahoma, and how much he's learned and how much he thinks he can help the team.
A lot better. I feel like I'm just more comfortable. You know, being able to get more reps and get more reps with the ones. I've been able to get the playbook down, so it eliminated some of the thinking process, and I just feel more comfortable in it.
You've had a great opportunity, obviously, to learn from two terrific receivers, Odell and Victor Cruz. What are some of the things they've taught you that have helped your game?
It just helped me out with everything, pretty much. I mean, picking up the plays, they helped me out with that, and then you know, different releases and different moves to use against different DBs. So they've just been helping me out all around the game.
We've all been waiting to see Odell and Victor Cruz on the field together. Add you in, it's a great trio. I know Victor's been hurt. Have you kind of thought about what it might be like when he gets healthy, what the three of you can do?
Oh yeah, I mean, he was with us at the beginning of the camp, so you know, it'd definitely be something special. And he'll be back on the field. I have no doubt about that. You know, he's just working and he knows his body the best, so he's just working to get back.
Do you like the fact that there's a lot of hype about you and what you can do, and fans seem very excited about your potential?
I'm not into all that stuff. I mean, I try to stay away from the outside stuff and just focus on me and focus on what I need to be doing to get better every day. You know, all that stuff is cool, but you know, I don't pay too much attention to it.
Last one for me. You're joining an offense that was a top 10 offense last year. A lot of the same guys are back. What's the potential here? How good can this offense be?
It can be as good as we make it. Coach Sullivan does a great job calling plays, getting us in the right looks. So it's just on us to go out and execute it every week. And we've been working our tails off, and hopefully that's what happens.
Well, obviously a lot of optimism there from Sterling Shepard, and again a lot of optimism about him throughout the entire Giants organization. Really, all offseason long, they were talking about him more so than any other draft pick, really. They really believe that in the second round they got a steal of a player, and not a guy that he's not going to remind you necessarily of Victor Cruz. He might remind you a little bit more of Odell Beckham. Obviously, they're going to be playing different roles in the offense, but a guy that they think can really complement him, and he's got the same type of, he's a little bit small, I guess, but he plays big. He can go up and get the ball, has great hands. They really think that this kid could be a number one receiver on any team that doesn't have Odell Beckham. Obviously, he's only going to be a number two here, but they think they've got two dynamic weapons. And for all the years we've heard about how, wow, the combination of Beckham and Victor Cruz, really, well, I guess 2 years of Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham, of being maybe they have a chance to be the best receiving tandem in the NFL. Be really interesting if it turns out that Beckham and somebody else, Sterling Shepard in this case, would challenge for that title. I think that's what the Giants believe they have. We'll see more of him, of course, Saturday night against the Jets, and I'll guarantee you that if he's healthy, he's going to be in the starting lineup on September 11th against the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll talk a lot more about Sterling Shepard in future podcasts. We've had a great first podcast so far. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank John Fennelly, our SNY Giants writer, for joining us. Of course, Sterling Shepard for doing that interview with me out at Giants camp. Great job by Jason Pateri, our producer, in putting this all together. And Adam Schaefer, the studio tech, doing whatever magic he did to put this together as well. Just a reminder for everybody, we are going to be doing this weekly, so make sure you keep following this podcast. And of course, subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast to get this and get the Rangers podcast, the Islanders, the Mets, Jets, and the Knicks as well. All sorts of great stuff from SNY and SNY.TV. And for our football coverage here, all season long, follow SNY.TV/Giants. You can also follow SNY.TV/Jets and follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Ralph Vacchiano SNY on Facebook, and at RVacchiano SNY on Twitter. For the entire crew here at SNY and all of our guests, thanks for listening to our debut edition of Giants Goal Line. We'll talk to you soon, everybody.
This has been Giants Goal Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.